This podcast is, of course, made possible through the support of our members and from Dartmouth Hitchcock. Imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community with convenient locations throughout northern New England. World-class providers are closer than you think. Visit dartmouthhitchcock.org to learn more. Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. One of the key components of the Affordable Care Act isn't quite working out as planned. These are the so-called health exchanges, where private insurers would agree to certain rules, offer plans, compete for customers, and people who needed help paying would get federal subsidies. About 12 million Americans now have coverage through these exchanges, but many insurers report huge losses from their ACA business. Some are pulling out, and many plan major rate hikes later this fall. Today in The Exchange, troubles with Obamacare. Let's hear from you. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. With me in studio, Jennifer Patterson, Health Policy Legal Counsel for the New Hampshire Insurance Department. Jenny, nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Also joining us by phone from D.C., Mary Agnes Carey, Senior Correspondent for Kaiser Health News. And Mary Agnes, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Mary, lots of headlines about what one political writer called Obamacare's sinking safety net, lots of concern about big rate hikes in coverage on these insurance exchanges later this fall. What are you seeing, Mary Agnes? How turbulent is it right now for these exchanges?
Well, I think it's sort of a culmination of maybe some natural growing pains you could expect with the Affordable Care Act here as we head into the next enrollment season. As you know, you have had some insurers drop out. There's been some consolidation of markets where something like 25 to 30% of the markets in the next enrollment season may only have one insurer to choose from.
25 to 30%?
Right. It's
wow.
Pretty significant. And as you see those markets consolidate, insurers are doing something called narrow networks where they go to consolidate the number of doctors and hospitals and so on that offer coverage. And so with a narrow network, it may mean that your doctor or your hospital may not be in that network as you go to enroll in the Affordable Care Act. And we've also seen in some markets, not all, but in some markets, some higher price increases this year. So all of these factors, as you know, are causing concern.
Wow. So a narrower network, maybe you have sort of coverage in name only? I mean, it's not available where you are?
Well, it depends. I mean, one of the things the administration says, and it's true, is that you shop around during open enrollment season and you might be able to find a plan that costs you what you paid or less if you get a subsidy on, you know, for the premium or for the cost sharing. But you really have to do your homework. Is your doctor on that network? Is your doctor taking additional patients in this new insurance plan, for example? Same thing for pediatricians and all the doctors that we see. So it does require a bit of homework on the enrollees' part to make sure they can see the doctors or be in the hospitals that they want to be in.
Well, and step back for a second, Mary Agnes, if you could please. Just remind us, what was the big hope for these exchanges? What was the coverage gap that the White House was hoping these exchanges would fill?
Well, you had the individual market, which in some ways was kind of the wild, wild west for people. Almost guaranteed double-digit increases throughout the markets all over the country. Many of the plans were more narrow in scope. Now, to be fair, some people liked it. Some people didn't want to buy a health insurance plan that, for example, didn't include maternity coverage or pediatric coverage if they didn't need those two things. But what the administration was trying to do was to create an even marketplace for individual consumers. So people would have not only the ability to buy health insurance if they currently had a business, for example, but if you wanted to leave your job and start your own company or you were purchasing insurance on your own, that you would have the same kind of choices that are out there for many other Americans, for example, for employers that are buying for their workers. So they were trying to create this viable, active marketplace, and in some it tends to be if you are in an urban area, you tend to have more choices than if you're in a rural area. But as we've just talked about, some of that broadness of scope has narrowed over time to lead us to where we are right now.
So people who made too much money to qualify for Medicaid, but who would really struggle to buy insurance on their own, who for whatever reason didn't get coverage through their employer, this is the sort of group that the administration was trying to cover.
Right, but the affordability has been the key question that you note. I mean, even for some people who get subsidies, it's still kind of an expensive proposition. We have some high deductibles on some of these policies that people are finding quite onerous, but exactly the market you describe is what they were aiming for.
Well, and I remember back when these were first rolling out, you know, 2010, 2011, and Jenny, I want to bring you into this too. There was a lot of talk about states setting up their own exchanges versus states that were letting the federal government set up its exchange system, often described as sort of the Travelocity of healthcare. You go online and you shop around and see what works. New Hampshire decided not to set up its own. What's the impact of that? Why does that matter today?
Yeah, thank you, Laura. It's really interesting seeing what's happening in the other states, because I think in many ways in New Hampshire, we're in much better shape. We're almost moving in the opposite direction from what we're seeing in other states.
Really?
So in 2014, we had one carrier on the network. They had a narrow network. There was a lot of concern about that. We've moved in the direction to now we've got four carriers. We've got every single hospital is in someone's network. Most of them are in multiple networks. And I really think it's a result of the choices that New Hampshire has made. We chose to focus on our strengths, which was the regulation of insurance markets, and not to focus on actually building the exchange, which we let the federal government do that for us. So insurance is something that's always been regulated at the state level, and we are very strong in that, and we continue to do that for all of the plans that are sold in our markets, including the exchange plans. So the first focus that we have as a regulator is on the solvency of the companies. We want to make sure that they can pay their claims. We also look at every single contract. People talk about how complicated insurance contracts are. We read those contracts before they can be sold to anyone to make sure that they comply with the law, that they have everything in there, and that they don't have things in there that they shouldn't have in there. We also have a consumer services unit who, once people have a plan, they can call, and if they're having a problem, if their claim's been denied, if they want help filing an appeal, we work with them. We can intercede with the insurance carrier. And then finally, we have a market conduct role where we can go in and look at all of the records of an insurance company and see whether they actually are treating people in accordance with that plan. So that's been our focus here on the plans, on that type of regulation,
sort of
rather than operating, right, rather than operating the exchange.
What about the premium rate hikes that, you know, everybody says are coming in the fall, excuse me, as more and more of these insurers who are offering products on these exchanges, Jenny, say, look, I just can't make money off of this, and sorry, but your rates are going up 30%. Is that going to happen in New Hampshire?
Well, in New Hampshire, the rates are not public yet. We do, and part of our regulatory role always has been to review the rates before they can be sold. And basically, we look to make sure that they're adequate and not excessive. So they've got to be enough so that those carriers can remain solvent, but not be excessive. So because we have what's called a partnership exchange, we review those rates, and then we make a recommendation for the exchange plans to the federal agency, CMS, who operates the exchange. They make the final decision on whether or not the plan can be sold on the exchange.
So it's kind of like the Public Utilities Commission. You're reviewing their requests for rate increases?
Right. And then we make that recommendation. And so that information will be public very soon. Under the Affordable Care Act, the proposed rates have to be public. So there's a link on the Insurance Department website to the CMS site for the proposed rate hikes. But those aren't necessarily the final ones. The final ones, certainly they'll be public by the first day of open enrollment, which is November 1st. But we expect that CMS will probably, or the carriers, make them public substantially in advance of that.
Mary Agnes, what are you hearing about proposed rate hikes? And I totally get what you're saying, Jenny, that these are not finalized yet. But what are you hearing about some of these proposals, Mary Agnes?
Well, some of them are pretty huge. I mean, I think you've got some markets where you might see rates as high as 30% or higher. Now, that's not everywhere. And as you know, was just discussed, those are all preliminary rates and not necessarily the final. But we have to remember a couple of things. The law requires insurers, if the rate hikes are going to be higher than 10%, they have to explain why they do it. Doesn't necessarily mean they can stop it. And in some states, health insurers have more power than others to regulate rates. So we'll see how it shakes out. But it looks like even if you had challenges from some health insurance commissioners and even public pressure on some of these rate hikes, they're still going to be fairly significant for the next open enrollment.
And what's causing that, Mary Agnes? You know, companies say we can't make money off of these things. We've lost so much. I think I came across one number somewhere, I think it was in Politico, 70% of carriers sustained losses from their health exchange businesses. That was according to an analysis by McKinsey. $2.7 billion in losses. Why are companies reporting these huge losses selling these products, Mary Agnes?
Well, that's a matter of great debate. There's some speculation. They wonder if they underpriced products initially to get a larger market share.
They underpriced.
Underpriced, right, underpriced them. And then another factor is that, you know, when open enrollment started in 2014, it was pretty well known and made common sense that the sickest people would get in, right? The people that really need health insurance get in, and they have often tremendous health care needs because they haven't had coverage. And also there are programs in the law that have helped insurers offset some of their losses for the last few years since the ACA, the enrollment began. And some of those programs are going away next year, so there's some thought that maybe insurers have increased their prices slightly to help accommodate for that. But I think for every insurer, and in particular markets, it's a different story, but the thought is it's either a combination or maybe one of two of those factors for most insurers.
So a sicker, older pool of folks signed up for care on these insurance exchanges. They used to also, Mary Agnes, get help from the federal government, you know, accommodating a little bit for taking on this riskier pool of folks. That money's going away. Another critique that I have heard, and I wonder if you've heard it too, Mary Agnes, is this very popular provision of Obamacare that young adults can stay on their parents' plans until they're 26.
Right.
Some people say, look, that's those are the folks that you want buying insurance on the exchanges, and maybe we should dial it back to 22. I'm wondering how much you've heard about that.
Well, I think it could be one of either. I mean, maybe having them buy at 22 may increase the healthier people in the risk pool. But if they're on their parents' plan anyway till age 26, they still are part of the risk pool and they have coverage. I mean, I think what's an interesting question that I've heard people talk about is when that young adult turns 27 and they've got to get it on their own, some of the difficulties they're having when they look at some of the plans and some of the copays. But there's also, they call it sort of a young invincibles plan. I think you can enroll until you're like 30, which is a very high deductible health insurance plan aimed at younger people to get them in the risk pool. But it's fairly limited coverage, has some preventative care and other services, but a high deductible. So that is actually, as you bring up the young adults, that's one of the groups that the administration will really go after again for open enrollment starts November the 1st. They're aiming at that demographic to try to convince them it really is worth the money for them to get health insurance.
The exchange number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. And as we look at some concerns about the Affordable Care Act's health insurance exchanges, we'd love to hear from you, your questions and comments, especially if you get coverage on one of these health insurance exchange plans, or you're thinking about getting coverage as this open enrollment season approaches. 1-800-892-6477 is our number. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jenny, just picking up on what Mary Agnes said, what have you heard about New Hampshire health insurers and whether they're saying, look, we can't make money from the way this is set up right now?
Well, one of the things in New Hampshire that the insurance department's been looking at for a long time, even prior to the ACA, is what drives health costs in the state. So we feel, and our legislature feels, that transparency really fosters competition. And so we actually have, the insurance department has an annual hearing on health costs where it's not a hearing on any particular proposed rate increase, but it's a very detailed look at data, which we're very lucky in New Hampshire to have access to a lot of data on our markets. And we actually put forth very detailed reports that look at what's happening in terms of where are people getting their coverage from, what percentage of people are covered, but also what's happening in terms of premiums, in terms of deductibles, and also in terms of medical costs and the medical costs that drive those premiums so that we can really drill down and see where are these potential increases coming from?
Are they coming from any one type of, you know, procedure or one area of the state or one specific population and so forth? So insurers would say, and picking up on what you said, Jenny, you know, don't blame us for these increases. Look at the providers and how much they are charging.
Right. And that's what our next hearing is November 4th. And the carriers do come in. And then we also have presentations from a variety of people involved in the health care arena. So what's driving it? So last year in our annual report, the largest increase in medical spending was found in the prescription drug category. So probably we'll look at that at our next hearing as well.
Interesting. Again, our number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, 1-800-892-6477. Mary Agnes, I know we only have you for a couple more minutes, so I did want to ask you, we talked about this pool of people who the administration hoped would sign up on the health exchanges and how some people did, but some people didn't, and that's part of the problem. What could have been done, Mary Agnes, to make this pool bigger?
Well, that's a fantastic question, and people have been asking that as they look at the Affordable Care Act and the enrollment. Some wondered if there was enough of aggressive outreach to everyone who could possibly enroll. Some people feel that some of the enrollment procedures are a little more complex, a little more difficult. There's also been some difficulties in data matching, if you will. If you think about it, if you're on healthcare.gov to sign up for health insurance, or you're sitting with a navigator and they're working with you perhaps at a community event, they've got your information has got to be sort of reconciled with things at the IRS. If you're going to go for a subsidy or if there's an immigration status issue, it has to talk to other federal agencies, perhaps Department of Homeland Security. There's been some issues in, you know, getting that all to work. But the thing about this is insurance and health insurance, unfortunately, is just kind of a complex thing for people to understand, especially if you haven't dealt with the healthcare system. You may not understand premiums. You may not understand copays and deductibles. And we talked about the affordability issue. Some people, in making the calculation, looking at their monthly expenses, think perhaps even with a subsidy, it's still a little expensive for me, or I've never had insurance before. I always paid cash. Do I really need this? But now you see one factor that may influence enrollment this year is the penalties for not having coverage. That's what we call the individual responsibility provision of the law. Those penalties have increased and have gotten larger over time. So one thing they're doing is going to people who were hit with a penalty for their 2015 taxes and saying, you know, you can get around this penalty if you actually enrolled in health insurance and let us help you. So I think that the administration has learned from lessons from past enrollment seasons. I think the people that are facilitating enrollment, whether it's a navigator or an insurance broker, their insurance agent, they're all learning how to do it better. But the other obstacle, as I see it, is if you have people who haven't enrolled in health insurance now and they've had three opportunities to do it, how do you get them before?
Yeah.
That's really hard because people have decided I can live without this. And so how do you get those folks? And it's just really tough.
So the penalties are going up. How much are they, Mary Agnes?
It's, goodness. It is, maybe Jenny can help me with this. It's a figure or 2.5% of income or whatever.
Almost $700 maybe, $695.
Yeah, it's definitely getting bigger. And
yeah,
the problem
that's
is
a lot.
It's this percentage, right? And then it's whichever is greater. And so that's the thing, that if that 2.5% of income is bigger,
yeah,
that's going to hurt you even more.
Well, Mary Agnes, thank you so much for helping us out. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's Mary Agnes Carey, again, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Coming up, Dan Gorenstein with Marketplace will be with us as well to help explain the ins and outs of the health exchanges. And we'll hear from you. So stay with us. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, rising concern and possibly rising rates when it comes to the Affordable Care Act's health insurance exchanges. Let's hear from you. Your questions, comments, thoughts, concerns are welcome at 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. You can always find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jennifer Patterson is with us in studio, Health Policy Legal Counsel for the New Hampshire Insurance Department. And joining us now from Philadelphia is our former colleague, Dan Gorenstein. He's now senior reporter for Marketplace's Health Desk, covering the business of healthcare. And Dan, really nice to have you back on the air with us. Thanks for taking some time.
Thanks, Laura. Good morning.
Well, I'm sure you've been seeing the headlines like we have been, you know, trouble on these health insurance exchanges, which were supposed to cover this sort of difficult pool of people to cover. How turbulent is it, Dan, in terms of what we might see in the fall?
Well, you know, Laura, I think, you know, I'm sure you guys have been talking about this already, but it's certainly clear that rates will go up. I mean, rates will go up considerably for some people. And we have these insurers leaving. And I think you even have some staunch supporters of the Affordable Care Act, staunch supporters of these exchanges who are raising questions about the long-term viability of this. And I think for me in my coverage of this, that more than anything, when people at the Kaiser Family Foundation are asking questions about this and sort of wringing their hands, I think that really is an indication that there's some genuine concern about what actually is happening here. So I think consumers are going to feel the heat. I think insurers are feeling financially squeezed, and policymakers are going to have their hands full going forward.
And we talked about this with Mary Agnes Carey, but I'd love to get your thoughts too, Dan. Why are insurers taking such big losses in some cases on selling these products? Again, according to an analysis by McKinsey, 70% of insurers lost money on these, some by a lot.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, some of the smartest people I've talked to on this, Laura, have said to me that from the get-go, I think everybody has to realize and understand that this is a new business. This is a new business for insurers. They've never really done this. You know, historically, insurance companies have sold directly to employers or very rarely has there been this kind of person-to-person system and where the insurance company is selling directly to the consumer and oftentimes consumers who are sick. I mean, previously, let's not forget, a lot of the people who are signing up on these exchanges have pre-existing conditions. They really struggled to find insurance before the Affordable Care Act. And so this is kind of a new group, a new market, and some insurers, I think we also have to remember that some insurers are actually making money. Some of the smaller ones who have practiced with these sorts of patient populations, some people who were working in the Medicaid group previously. And so folks are just beginning, these insurance executives are just beginning to learn how to do this. And there are some people who are having, you know, what are called the narrow networks, like small groups of hospitals, small groups of doctors that people can go to. Those plans that are selling on exchanges are having some success here. So we can't speak of this so monolithically, I think.
But different state by state.
Different state by state, different insurer by insurer. You know, I mean, there's some insurers in California. California is a wonderful example. In California, you've seen some companies do really, really well. And then you've seen people like United leave. You know, United is the largest insurer in the country, and they're leaving California because they couldn't make a go of it. So why couldn't they make a go of it? And part of it might be because these companies are making assumptions about how to make this business work and make money that were wrong.
Because it's a whole new market, as you said, Dave.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's all sorting stuff out.
Well, let's take some calls. Lots of people who want to jump in. Again, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. And Jenny and Dan, Matt's joining us from Alstead. Hi, Matt. Go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm hearing lots of worry. But my real experience, having been on Obamacare since the very beginning as an individual member, a self-employed cabinet maker, I got in last Saturday's mail a letter from Anthem out of sync with billing cycles. What is this, I thought. And I opened it, and it was a refund check to me for $339.
Congratulations.
And, you know, attached to a letter saying that the Affordable Care Act requires providers to refund excess profits. So Anthem apparently is doing very well in New Hampshire, and Anthem is, I think, the largest insurer in New Hampshire. And I guess this means that Anthem will have a very hard time justifying any rate increase in the letter I will get in a month or so based on how they're doing in the state, which is apparently better than expected.
And Matt, if I could ask you a quick question. So you are one of the 12 million Americans who has purchased health coverage on these health insurance exchanges that were set up, you know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
How complicated was it to get set up?
Well, you know, I was involved in the very, very beginning. So there was the glitch thing in the website.
Right.
But once I got signed up, my rate dropped. I'm one of those, you know, little people squirreling away in the woods, making not a lot of money, and I get a subsidy. But I have had 29 annual physicals from the same doctor in the same hospital. Nothing changed for me in terms of getting care. And I think Obamacare, though it was not the health care plan that President Obama envisioned when this all started, it was wrapped around the Congress's axle for a long time, and what came out certainly needs tuning up, but it is a good start.
Okay. And Matt, thank you for calling
in. I'm a big supporter.
Thanks for calling in. And boy, Jenny, it's interesting to hear his story. Sometimes we get refunds from the insurer because we accidentally overpay to the doctor's office, but I'm kind of taken aback by that story that he told. Can you explain that to us?
Well, there is a requirement under the ACA that it's called the medical loss ratio. And so if the carrier is spending less than a certain percentage on medical costs, then rather than keeping the excess as profit, they have to return it to consumers. So that appears to be exactly what happened in Matt's case.
More than $300, though. And how can Anthem afford to continue to do that for people like Matt all over the Granite State?
Well, again, I mean, I think it's based on how well they're doing in New Hampshire. And as I said at the outset, I think in New Hampshire, we really are in a different situation from a lot of other states. We started out with the single carrier narrow network concern, and we have really expanded beyond that. I think part of the reason in New Hampshire as well is that we chose to do our Medicaid expansion through private insurance plans. So that brought one additional carrier into the state and a lot more people into the individual market.
Is four carriers, Dan Gorenstein, a lot for a little state like New Hampshire?
I would say four carriers is a reasonable amount of carriers to choose from. I think, you know, they're as we've seen these defections earlier this year of insurers leaving states, I mean, there are parts of Arizona, parts of North Carolina, and there are some rural chunks where people really are left struggling and do not have very many options at all. I'm forgetting the number, but Kaiser put out a report in the last 4 or 5 weeks talking about some big chunk of the country just has, you know, two insurers or less to choose from. So if you've got four choices, at least in today's era, I think that's pretty good.
Let's take another call, both of you. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Your questions and comments about what's been happening with the health insurance exchanges under the Affordable Care Act. 1-800-892-6477. And Dan and Jenny, up next is Keith in Manchester. Hi, Keith. Thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a policy in the marketplace, but I also have to tell you, I have an organization called Health Apply. We're an agency, and we help people across the state of New Hampshire. I want to bring to light, I think, some common complication of the narrow network, and I don't know that it's quite been brought to light yet, but it can be a very expensive proposition for people who own these policies. We have a list where we can see if you're looking at a particular policy, if there's a relationship with a hospital. The challenge becomes the business relationships beyond that little. So as a simple example, you may go to a hospital, and that hospital may work somewhere that your insurance company have a relationship with. So what the hospitals this year, and this is part of your plan, that next step may become pretty expensive.
Yeah, and Keith, I think we're losing you on the phone, and I do apologize there. Both of you, Jenny, you first. You brought up narrow network before. What does that mean exactly, and how is that playing out here in the Granite State?
Right. A narrow network, basically, when a health insurance company comes into a state, they'll contract with providers to provide the services. And in many plans, probably most plans, it's either cheaper to go to a contracted provider or there's not coverage outside if you go to an out-of-network
provider. So you can see who you want to see, but you pay out-of-pocket for
it. And so this is something where we at the insurance department have been really focused on getting that information out there that Mary Agnes talked about. It is critically important for people when they shop to also look at the provider networks. So as a result of the fact that in 2014 we only had one carrier, they had a narrow network, they only covered 16 hospitals in the state.
I remember that. That was a big deal. So and that left law, about 10 out. Yeah.
Right. A law actually passed in New Hampshire requiring the insurance department to have kind of an annual public information session about the networks for the upcoming plan year. So we do have on the New Hampshire Insurance Department website a presentation that shows which hospitals are covered. And so folks who want to look and see whether or not their hospital is in network can go right now, and they can see that on the insurance department's site. And so this year, and actually every year after 2014, all 26 hospitals have been in at least one carrier's network. And for 2017, there are only two hospitals that are not in at least two carriers' networks.
Okay, so you've got choices no matter where you are in the state. Maybe not all the choices, but you've got some choices. Dan Gorenstein, I'm thinking that this is especially a problem in rural states, right? These narrow networks and, you know, yeah, you're covered, but you might have to drive an hour.
Well, no, that's right. You know, actually, there was a report that came out in the last month or so talking about the rise of these narrow network plans, and it prompted me to send out a little note on Twitter saying, hey, what do we know about the long-term impact of health for these narrow networks? And I got a pretty loud response from, you know, these sort of like health policy geek types on Twitter saying, we don't really know. A couple of people even tweeted back saying, that's a really good area for study. Yeah. Somebody could do a program on that, like a major report. And I think, you know, I think we need to be watching, Laura, these, you know, if you're particularly right, if you're sick and you've got some kind of condition, you have to drive, maybe access. We know this in New Hampshire. Access is a real issue if you're in a rural part, and if you're really sick and you've got to get somewhere and it takes an hour, 20 minutes, that's a question. But also, like, if you need a certain type of specialist and there's only one in the state and they don't happen to be in network, what are you going to do? And if you're on a fixed income, that could be a real challenge. So I think instinctively, these plans raise important questions for people that need more study. We don't really know what they're going to do or how they're going to work for people long term.
So the big sort of meta question, Dan, is what are the health outcomes given these increasingly narrow networks?
Totally. Exactly.
Let's take one more call. And here's Jason in Portsmouth. Jason, thank you for being with us. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. How you doing?
Fine.
I hate bringing politics into this because it's just, you know, it's so unseemly to me. But Dan Gorenstein had mentioned an interesting point, the caller did, that, you know, there's flaws and there's issues. I heard a comment by an analyst about a month ago, and I can't believe that more people aren't talking about this, which is that I'm sure your guest is taking down a list of things that are tweaks and fixes and adjustments and things that need to be made. He said that any piece of legislation that's passed has flaws, has issues. And once it's implemented, lawmakers and people in the field go back and they make changes. They're like, okay, we need to find a way to cover for this. But this particular bill, I see a social media feed from some of my friends who, you know, every time there's a thing about how the exchanges are going to fall apart or are in jeopardy, they love it. They want this thing to die and to fail. So there's no goodwill, or there's very little goodwill and actually trying to address the problems with the law to make it work, because so many people don't want to address it, don't want to fix it, and want it to fail. how do you function and how do you make these tweaks that we're talking about in that environment?
Jason, thank you so much for the question. And Dan, I'll turn to you first on that.
Well, Jason, I mean, that's an excellent question. And I mean, I think since the Affordable Care Act took effect, we've been watching in Washington that very dynamic play out, right? Like, the administration has tried to, through executive order, get a lot of things done. But really, if without the cooperation of Congress, it is incredibly difficult to make real, meaningful changes, tweaks and adjustments that are needed. I think from the administration's perspective and ACA supporter perspective, the hope is that this will be around long enough that grandma and grandpa will be getting care, or that cousin that we all have who can't quite get it together has care long enough that they need this care, they rely on this care, and that politically it becomes one of those third rail issues that you have to, too many people are relying on the benefits that come from the Affordable Care Act for Congress and president to ignore the tweaks that must come. And so, you know, people will talk a lot historically about all the challenges that Medicare had kind of getting up off the ground. And I think that it's just that. It's hope that in a couple more years, as a new president gets elected, we'll see Congress and the president work together and collaborate, because constituents will be saying, we need this. You can't let this go. This is terrible. We're going to lose our benefits. And, you know, historically over the last 50 years, politicians tend to respond to that.
So that's the hope, anyway, from supporters. Jason's point is well taken. Dan, you know, some people who don't want this law to be around say they would do better starting from scratch. So too many problems, and let's just start from scratch. That's the argument on the other side, right?
Yeah, I think the argument on the other side is that this has been an unmitigated disaster. It's really not leading to any meaningful change. Costs are more expensive. But I think that that sort of analysis tends to ignore the reality that people who previously were sick now have access to insurance. But I think this morning I read an article in the Washington Post that's talking about how Republicans, even including in the New Hampshire race that you guys have, there are going to be over the next 6-7 weeks a lot of ads talking about the failure of Obamacare. This is going to continue to be an issue, but I think when people, I think Americans tend to want to have access to care and believe in access to care, and we've seen 20 more million Americans get insurance, even if it's not great insurance. Having that seems to speak to some kind of larger issue that most people in America favor and support.
Well, Dan, thank you very much for being with us. It's great to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you too, Laura. Thank you so much.
That's Dan Gorenstein, senior reporter for Marketplace's Health Desk, a former longtime reporter for us here at NHPR. Coming up, a lot more of your emails and phone calls. And we'll also check in with New Hampshire's insurance commissioner, Roger Savini. All that's coming up, so stay with us. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at rising concern and rising rates when it comes to coverage under the Affordable Care Act's health insurance exchanges. The number for you to join us with your questions and comments, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook. Send us a tweet. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Jennifer Patterson is with us, health policy legal counsel for the New Hampshire Insurance Department. We've also been hearing from some national reporters who've been looking at some of the trends nationally. And Jenny, I did want to bring you back into this. A couple callers before talking with Dan Gorenstein about the politics of this. Here's an email from Daniel in Bedford, who says, as premiums are set to rise, healthcare costs continue to increase, providers are dropping out of exchanges, and penalties for the uninsured going up. Is this issue going to be a liability for New Hampshire politicians that have been advocating for the law? Daniel says, I know Governor Hassan has been a big proponent of the Affordable Care Act, so will this be an issue in the U.S. Senate race and in our state governor's race. Now, I know you really deal with health policy, not politics, but I just love your thoughts as best you can give them on this issue.
I mean, I think, Laura, that what New Hampshire has done really well around the Affordable Care Act is to look to the things that will help consumers and that will help folks in the state, regardless of what happens with the ACA. So, as I said at the beginning of the show, we really focused in terms of the exchanges, on continuing to be the regulator of our markets, because we know how to do that. We know that well. And I think that it has reaped benefits. We've got four carriers. We've gone from one to four at a time when other states are struggling with that. Another thing that we do very well in New Hampshire is to look at transparency around health costs, because medical costs drive premium increases. So we've been looking at this for years, and New Hampshire actually was one of the first states to have what's called an all-payer claims database, where we can see what's actually being paid for medical procedures performed at different providers within the state by different carriers. That data is tremendously powerful in terms of analysis. And one of the things that we've done that really helps people is create a website called the New Hampshire Health Cost website. Folks can go on and they can put in their insurance, or if they're uninsured, they can see where they can find a lower cost provider. So in this era of higher out-of-pocket costs, higher deductibles, it's tremendously important for consumers themselves to be able to take control of that situation and see, because there is a tremendous variation in cost. It's unbelievable.
You want to give us an example?
Well, I think I don't have the website pulled up right now, but if you enter and you can go in, and this is all bundled by procedures. So if you need to have, you know, a chest X-ray, you can put in your zip code and you can see what it would cost at various facilities. And it really varies.
And if you're in the southern tier, if you're in Nashua, Manchester, the seacoast, you know, that's fine. But in a lot of places, you know, you'd have to drive an hour, and that just doesn't make sense, especially for a procedure where it's not just the procedure, but it's follow-ups and repeat appointments and all that.
Well,
so
I think
it's good for some folks.
Well, I think the beautiful thing about the website is it enables people to make their own choices about whether it is cost-effective for them to drive that distance to get that care at a lower-cost provider. And it also enables the carriers. The carriers can use this transparency to build plans that reward people for using lower-cost providers, because that saves the whole system money. So that's something that we really have done well, and I think is completely independent of the Affordable Care Act.
Joining us now on the phone is Roger Savini. He's commissioner for the New Hampshire Insurance Department and also president of the National Insurance Producer Registry. And Commissioner Savini, good to have you. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Lawrence. It's good to be here. Thank you.
What are you hearing, Commissioner Savini, from your fellow commissioners around the country about some insurers feeling kind of shaky about these Affordable Care Act exchanges?
You know, there's a lot of talk about that, and there has been a lot of talk about it constantly, even before the ACA. And the biggest reason for that probably is that our charge as commissioners around the country, our number one charge, is to make sure that the carriers that are doing business in our states remain solvent. So we always look at that first. Is this carrier that's wanting to operate in the state of New Hampshire going to remain solvent? We look at their financials. We look at how they price products. We look at their business plan and all of those kinds of things. And that's a lot of the talk that's gone around nationally.
In other words, are these carriers, you know, on solid footing themselves?
Yes, that's right. That's right, because that's critically important. The last thing you want is for you to have a claim, regardless of what kind of claim, but in this instance, a health claim, and your carrier not be able to pay the claim.
So what about the prices, Commissioner Savini? Again, there's a lot of concern that when open enrollment begins, some people might be in for some real sticker shock.
You know, and prices vary all over the country. I can speak for New Hampshire. The rates aren't out yet. We expect that CMS will have them out in the fairly near future, we hope. But I think Jenny mentioned this, rates are a direct factor of cost of care itself. And the other dynamic that operates, Jenny talked about as well, which is the medical loss ratio that carriers have to adhere to. If they don't spend, it's either 80% or 85%, depending on whether you're in the individual market or the group market, you have to refund what you haven't spent back to your insureds. So, again, there are some checks and balances in the system. But first and foremost, We look at rates. We look at rates to make sure that carriers are charging, and I almost always hate to say this, but are charging enough and yet not too much.
You know, we had at one point in time, Commissioner Savini, five carriers providing plans under these health insurance exchanges. Now there were four. I think it was the main co-op had to pull out. How concerned are you that other carriers might pull out here in New Hampshire? We hear about this happening nationally.
Well, right at the moment, we're pretty confident. We've looked at all of the carriers doing business here. We've looked at their financials. We've been, for example, Minuteman, which is a co-op that operates out of Massachusetts, is a player here in New Hampshire. We're in constant communication with the Massachusetts Insurance Department. The Massachusetts Commissioner and I talk about it with great regularity. So, you know, again, we look at their financial condition all the time. And our financial, I'm really proud of the work our financial folks do here. They're looking under the hood at, you know, every step of the way. So does that mean that something couldn't happen? Well, what it means, I think, is that it wouldn't necessarily that we would foresee it before something terrible happening.
Well, speaking of looking under the hood, Commissioner Savini, here's an email from Beth in Tamworth who says, could any of your panel address what constitutes profitability for the insurers? Beth asks, is there any transparency or scrutiny of what is a reasonable expectation for an insurer? Beth says news pieces about top salaries, profits for big insurers, make one suspicious that profits and salaries are too high. One of the shortcomings, she says, of the open market health coverage concept versus single payer. Beth, thank you for the email. Commissioner Savini, can you address her question?
She's right. Open market, free market, that's what New Hampshire operates under. And we don't regulate what CEOs or their employees make. What we regulate are the rates they can charge for the product. And we regulate, again, for solvency reasons. When we regulate for solvency reasons, we look at the premiums charged or anticipated to be charged, the costs anticipated to be paid, and we make sure that those align to be sure that the carrier remains solvent.
So you do regulate the rates. So you could say to an insurer, no, sorry, 40% in 1 year is too much.
We could, your question can possibly have several answers. Would you like me to confine it to the exchange?
Yes, because that's, I think, what we're focusing on today. Otherwise,
okay.
Obamacare is so big.
Right. As far as the exchange is concerned, we review the rates. We don't approve them. What we do is, because it's not a New Hampshire exchange.
It is
federally facilitated exchange. We review them for reasons of solvency, making sure that appropriate rates are charged, but that they're not overcharged, and we recommend rates to the federal government. But it's up to CMS to approve the rates.
Okay. Commissioner Savini, any last thoughts that you want to leave our listeners with as we, again, approach this open enrollment season and people really start focusing on this?
You know, a couple of thoughts. One of them is to be sure when you get to open enrollment that you look very carefully at the plans that you're considering. We've got 49 plans that are being offered here in the state of New Hampshire. That's a lot of offerings, and it's not necessarily that easy. And if you don't feel comfortable reviewing them by yourself, look for an agent. Look for somebody that's expert in insurance to help you. And secondly, I think as Jenny mentioned, please be aware of New Hampshire Health Cost. I think it's a great site for folks to look at to be able to understand what some of the costs are, the different costs at various locations.
Okay. Well, Commissioner Savini, thank you again for taking time out for us. We really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much.
That's Roger Savini. Again, he's Insurance Commissioner for the state of New Hampshire and President of the National Insurance Producer Registry. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Here's an email from Jeff in Warner, and I'll throw this to you, Jenny. He says, am I the only one out there who wonders if the insurance industry is deliberately sabotaging the ACA and doing what they can behind the scenes to help it fail? Jeff, thank you for the email. Is it your impression, Jenny, that the insurers like this law 5 years out or have started to turn against it? Because initially they were right on board. They wanted this so that they could have more customers.
Gee, I guess I can't speak for them. They should speak for themselves. But I think that in New Hampshire, at least, the fact that we do have the degree of competition that we do is an indication that this system is working okay for them, and it is a business model that works. I can't speak for other states, and certainly we are hearing this from other states.
Well, and as Dan Gorenstein told us, it's such a different picture depending on which state you're looking at. Here's an email from Alan in Pelham. Alan, thank you so much. He says, please discuss the issues, but stop calling it Obamacare. It's the Affordable Health Care Act, affordable or not. It's not his personal plan any more than the Patriot Act is the Sensenbrenner American Protection Plan, or we refer to the income tax as Roosevelt Care. Alan, thank you so much for the email. I did want to just note that President Obama himself has said he likes the name Obamacare. But Alan, I'm sorry if that annoyed you, and we'll try to call it the Affordable Care Act for the last couple minutes of the program. Here's Jonathan in Newmarket. Hi, Jonathan. Go ahead. You're on the Exchange.
Yeah. So I was calling in to say that, you know, I had health care through the exchanges. Actually through Minuteman Health out of Massachusetts. And, you know, I had to stop paying my deductible, or my premium, sorry, because it was just too expensive. And I had to end up going back on to my parents' plan. So I guess my comment would be, you know, I understand the premise of the, you know, the loss to get people health insurance. But, you know, for people that are my age, I'm 26, it's really hard to, you know, afford, you know, health insurance that's, you know, the cost is so high, and then also, you know, afford your other bills. So it's almost, you know, do you take the penalty and then just pay that out of your taxes, or do you keep, you know, suffering every month having to pay a deductible that's, you know, extremely high?
Wow, Jonathan, so you're in that right on the edge there, right? 26 years old, so you have to make that decision. What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, right now I have it through my employer. So, I mean, after I turned 26, it won't really matter. But, I mean, before that, you know, I was in the hospital in and out for a while. And, you know, it was really tough to navigate the website and then, you know, to figure out, you know, what I qualify for. And, you know, I thought I qualified for a tax credit, and I didn't. So, you know, it was just really hard to navigate that and then figure out, you know, on my own anyway, how do I, you know, go about trying to use coverage that, you know, my actual doctor didn't take, because they didn't take Minuteman Health. So
I
had to find another doctor.
This is this narrow network issue that we've been talking about. Jonathan, it is really complicated. I'm glad you called in. What do you think, Jenny?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, first of all, that does underscore how important it is for people to shop every year. The insurance department, we don't have anything to do with the operation of the healthcare.gov website. But for people who do qualify for a subsidy, it is absolutely worth going there and checking every year, because the amount of the subsidy changes depending on the premiums that are being charged in the market for that year. So the plan that's the cheapest for people with a subsidy one year may not necessarily be the cheapest for people with a subsidy another year. The caller also talked about some of the challenges in navigating the health insurance once they have it.
Right.
And that is something that the insurance department can help with. We have a consumer services unit that can help work through some of those issues. And people can call us at 1-800-852-3416 with questions, and we can help with that. Also, we had talked about the healthcare.gov website. There's some information there that I think could be really useful to people. I mean, not healthcare.gov, sorry, the health costs, New Hampshire health costs website. We've got information about how to navigate your insurance once you have it on that site as well. So I think there are resources available. The other issue that he mentioned was around his provider not being in the directory. And that's something that we're really trying to focus on, that, you know, we have the ability to look at in our regulation of carriers. Their directories are supposed to be updated in real time so that when people shop, they can look and see whether or not their provider is in the network, not just the hospital, but individual medical providers. And that is a really important thing for people to look at.
Let's take one more call. This is Marilyn in Bow. Jonathan, thank you for that one. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Laura. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay, great, great. Well, I just want to thank you very much for this show. It's been a really good learning experience, I think, for many people. And so I really thank you for, as we prepare and people start thinking about what their needs are going to be as open enrollment starts. But I just wanted to say that I'm a certified navigator in the New Hampshire marketplace. And after listening to all the comments, one of the, and I could say many, many things and agree with so many things that were said, but one of the things that I would like to leave listeners with is that we really encourage potential enrollees, people who are absolutely new to the marketplace this year. They've been thinking about it, they've been watching it, and they maybe are just deciding now that they may want to try this. Or people who are re-enrollees, we want to encourage them to find a an assister, either a navigator, a certified navigator, or a certified application counselor, or somebody that is familiar with the marketplace that they can sit down with and talk through their options. Because most of the people that my colleagues and I have helped, there is a home for them somewhere across the spectrum of health insurance.
Okay, Marilyn, I'm going to have to cut you off there. I apologize because we're nearing the end of the program. Jenny, you wanted to jump in real quick.
Yep, just Marilyn, I'm so glad you called in because I hadn't gotten the chance to talk about navigators, but the navigators are folks who are right here in New Hampshire who have received federal grants to help people use the exchange, and they are a tremendous resource. So that is absolutely something that people could look at. If you go to coveringnewhampshire.org and click on Get Help, that will help people find someone near them to get that help.
Okay, and we'll put that link on our website, Jenny. And thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Jenny Patterson, Health Policy Legal Counsel for the New Hampshire Insurance Department. The exchange continues all day. Our conversation is always online on Facebook and at nhpr.org. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters.